this is Canada HR News on February the 5th, 2024. I'm Elena Bobireva. In today's episode, we talk about the Manulife and Loblaw deal to distribute specialty drugs through Loblaw-owned pharmacies. Updates on union strikes from Air Transat and Saskatchewan Teacher Federation. Projected salary increases in Canada this year. And other topics. To get the latest HR updates, follow us on X at CADHRNews and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast. In January, the Conference Board of Canada's Index of Business Confidence rose by 6.2 points to 76.9. The rise marks the end of a historic downturn, breaking a trend where the index had fallen in 9 consecutive quarters. Approximately 53% of respondents believe that high interest rates are currently negatively impacting their company expenditures. The Bank of Canada maintained its benchmark interest rate at 5% in January, with the next announcement scheduled in March. While the majority of participants in the survey expect their firm's borrowing rates to remain steady over the next 6 months, more than 20% anticipate a decrease, supporting the view that interest rate cuts are likely to commence by mid-2024. Artificial intelligence tools are impacting business investment plans, as noted by 30% of respondents. Executives continue to emphasize the benefits of AI tools on firm-level productivity through analytics, automation, and decision support. Ontario once again retained its status as the preferred destination for investment. The Prairies have increased attention for investment too, particularly in critical mineral exploration projects. With a rich resource base, the Prairies' investment share stands at 29%. Which is the second highest in Canada. Manulife announced that the specialty drug care program will be carried out primarily through Shoppers Drug Mart and other Loblaw-owned pharmacies starting January the 22nd. The Manulife Loblaw arrangement affects around 260 medications under the insurance company's specialty drug care program. Drugs in this class are meant to treat complex, chronic, or life-threatening conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, pulmonary arterial hypertension, cancer, osteoporosis, and hepatitis C. Manulife customers in Labrador are feeling pushed out because there are no Loblaw-owned pharmacies in this region. Though Manulife says it will deliver to customers in remote areas, patients may not be able to access their medications in a timely fashion, and mail deliveries aren't the most consistent or reliable. Independent pharmacists believe that this deal signals another shift away from personalized care for patients who have a long-standing relationship with their local pharmacist. The federal minister in charge of promoting competition says he is concerned about a deal between Manulife Financial and Loblaw companies that restricts patients from filing prescriptions for specialty drugs at other pharmacies under their insurance plans. Competition Bureau representative says the law enforcement agency couldn't comment on whether the deal may raise concerns under the Competition Act because it is legally required to conduct its work confidentially. Manulife has said the shift to an exclusive agreement would give patients more options to receive their specialty medications, with patients able to pick up drugs from a Loblaw-owned store or have them delivered to their home. Canadian Manufacturing Magazine reports that Ontario manufacturers continue to face acute workforce needs, with almost 19,000 jobs currently unfilled, over 7,000 confirmed new manufacturing jobs about to open up, and significant retirements expected between now and 2028. Breaking this down by region, the Greater Toronto Area, Kitchener-Waterloo, and the Hamilton-Niagara regions are facing the largest number of vacancies, and are expected to face even more pressure with new manufacturing jobs, especially in the auto and electric vehicle sector. A significant proportion of manufacturing employees are baby boomers and nearing the end of their working careers. Based on Ontario's share of those workers, Canadian Manufacturing estimates that the province could see as much as 18,500 retirements every year between now and 2034. To address skill shortages, it is recommended to double down on the province's efforts to bring industry and education institutions together to address skill gaps and better plan training opportunities with regional industry councils. It is also suggested to augment the Ontario-made Manufacturing Investment Tax Credit with matching support for employer-led training, and to better align the provincial nominee program with the needs of employers and workers to help replenish the aging workforce. In union news, Air Transat's 2,100 flight attendants have rejected the tentative labor agreement reached with Air Transat on January 7. 82% of QP members voted no, with 89% participating in the vote. The main sticking points for crew members included hours worked on the ground before takeoff and after landing, as well as the question of onboard staffing. According to the union, the parties will return to the negotiating table quickly to resume discussions. The previous collective agreement for these flight attendants, based at airports in Montreal and Toronto, expired on October 31, 2022. Negotiations began officially on April 27, 2023. Reuters reports that unions in the airspace, construction, airline, and rail industries have pressed over the last 2 years for higher wages and more benefits amid a tight labor market. Flight attendants at Alaska Airlines are voting through February 13 on whether to give authorization for their union to strike for the first time in decades. Cabin crews at carriers in Canada and the United States are demanding to be paid for more of their hours at work, a fundamental change from how the industry currently compensates them by paying largely only when the aircraft is in motion. The Saskatchewan Teachers Federation has announced its latest round of job action amid the ongoing bargaining stalemate with the provincial government. The Federation gave 48 hours of notice for strikes that will begin in various provincial communities starting February 7. About 4,300 teachers will be involved in the strike, with approximately 65,000 students will be affected, according to the Federation press release. The Federation says the province is refusing to bargain on class size and complexity, but the government maintains the true issue is over salary proposals. Teachers want a 2% annual wage increase, and to account for inflation, they want their salaries to be tied to the consumer price index. The province says the index isn't a part of other collective agreements, and they're offering a 7% raise over 3 years. The Government of Canada has been looking for a new HR system that would meet the needs of its complex workforce. Since 2022, Public Services and Procurement Canada has been testing Dayforce against the HR and payroll landscape across various federal departments. Testing has demonstrated that Dayforce is a technically viable option, but improvements will be required to the way the Federal Public Service manages HR and pay processes. This includes simplifying and standardizing processes across departments and agencies, consolidating employee records, and ensuring government-wide readiness and capacity before launching the new system. Over the coming months, the Government of Canada will continue to expand testing and design the system to its specific needs, while exploring options for simplifying HR processes and procedures. A final recommendation on the way forward for HR and pay is expected later this year. The current pay system is used to deliver pay to an average of 420,000 current and former employees biweekly. In 2023, this represented 13 million payments, totaling approximately $36 billion. In Canada, salaries are expected to rise this year by approximately 3.6%, the same as the forecasts reported in the summer. According to Normandin Baudry, beyond the traditional salary increase budget, 41% of respondents in Canada have set aside an average of 0.9% of payroll for additional budget funds. The primary intents of these additional budgets are to implement ad hoc market adjustments, differentiate compensation for high performers, and retain strategic or mission-critical employees. These results demonstrate that employers are still investing in their employees' compensation package to stay competitive in today's job market. Beyond compensation increases, majority of participating organizations are enhancing benefit and pension plans, as well as other non-monetary components. In Canada, British Columbia and Quebec employers on average plan to increase pay by 3.7%, while Nunavut by 2.9%, and organizations in Northwest Territories by 3.2%. Yukon is increasing its minimum wage from $16.77 to $17.59 as of April 1. The increase is based on the 2023 Consumer Price Index for Whitehorse, which is 4.9%. Some residents of the province said the increase is a good thing, but they don't think it will reduce poverty or increase affordability in the territory. Critics say that this wage is lower than the living wage rate identified at $20.04 per hour in 2023. According to the Yukon's Bureau of Statistics, less than 3% of Yukoners earn only minimum wage. The rest earn above that. And this was Canada HR News. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us to stay up to date and leave us a rating in Apple Podcast. You can also find us in Spotify and on other platforms. For more information on the topics discussed today, see the episode description and connect with us on X at CAD HR News and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast.